Well, I appreciate your prayers again this morning. Thank you all for letting me come out here again. I have a little burden on my heart that goes along with that song. I feel like that our Christian faith is under attack, and I think the devil would love nothing more than to wipe out all remembrances of Christianity. And I don't think he's able to do it. But in the process of him trying to do it, he's going to do all that he can do. He's going to diminish in every way he can our light, our effectiveness, effectualness that we can have in being able to touch the world. If the devil can, he'll mar that in any way that he can. If he can tell a lie to do it, he'll do it. If he can cause a failure that he can magnify, he'll do it. He'll do whatever he can to diminish the effectiveness that we have to be able to touch souls, to be able to be encouraged, to encourage one another, help one another. I think we live in that kind of a time. I want to say this, that I don't think that we serve a God that can't take us through our future. He can do it with victory. So no matter what the world does, our God is able. No matter what the devil does, and when people face those kind of things that look like the devil does, and it looks like that their effectiveness may be totally hindered, God still can bring that out to a good place. I think of the story of Joseph. Joseph was accused of something that he did not do that was very natural for him to have done. And I don't think it would have been hard for everybody to believe that he done that. And I'm talking about Potiphar's wife. But God was still able to use him effectively. Even though it looked like he could never be used effectively, God used him effective. And so, Lord help us today. I'm thinking about, what do you think of Christianity? Do you have a vision? Do you have a vision of the church? I want to tell you, I thank God that from the beginning of my experience with Him, He gave me a vision of the church. A vision of the purity of it. A vision of the unity of it. The vision of what God would have it to be. I'm glad that that is maintained in my heart and mind. Because when I'm challenged, I always can see the vision, that perfect bride of Christ that he has. I see and experience that. I'm glad for it because it keeps me and gives me a focus. But it's not to wonder, what's your thoughts about Christianity? Is Christianity to you an organization of people that get together on Sundays and is that your Christian thought? Or Christians ought to perform in certain ways? These are all truth statements. But what do you see it as? What's the primary thought that you have about it? Is it a city on a hill? I have never been willing to accept mediocrity from it. I've never been able to accept it. When the suggestion to me comes that it's mediocre, I refuse it. The kingdom of God is not mediocre. It's brilliant. I don't see it as something just ineffectual. I see it as something dynamic. I see it to the ability of changing a person's life totally. I see the potential of it. I see the ability of it. I still see it, although I have problems with maybe applying it. I still see it as the answer for all the world. I still see it. I don't know how you apply that to people that are born and raised in Muslim worlds that never have the... I don't know how to apply it always. But I still say this. Jesus Christ is our answer. Yes. And it is not done in mediocrity or indifference or just going along and doing that. It's to be seen as something that is alive, working, dynamic, and even brilliant, illuminating, something that can't be avoided or seen. But I'll have to ask this. Do we have that kind of an influence in our lives? Because we can say that as a generic idea, but if it isn't applicable to me, if I haven't got it, and we can say, well, the church is this, but if its members aren't that, then it isn't that. Understand what I'm saying? We don't want to drop the ball, so to speak, in our generation. We don't want to become ineffectual. We don't want to become mediocre. We don't want to be blend in of just one among many. See, I have a vision of the church, and she's a beautiful, beautiful woman. And she doesn't have any sisters. She's the only one of her mother. She's not, it's not plural, it's singular. But as I look at that, I have to say, it can't just be a vision. It's got to be a reality. That we have an influence in our day and time. And that we're not willing to just go down into an oblivion or in a communal type way. We can witness Christ to one another. But we can't witness it beyond that. Or it isn't seen beyond that or recognized beyond that. I think it's supposed to be much more than any of that. I want to look at a scripture in Lamentations that just brings out a little idea of the burden the Lord gave me. It's in the fourth chapter of Lamentations, and it starts out this way. It says, how is the gold become dim? Now, that really isn't in a question form, as in, how is the gold become dim? It's a statement with exclamation. Yes. And it means, how is it? How is it? How much is it? Look, the gold is... Can I tell you something about gold? It can't do it. The nature of gold is to shine. People that would go look for it would look down and say, hey, something's shining. It must be gold. I mean, there's a shine to gold. You can polish it and shine it more. Of course, it can be refined. It can be done all that. But the very nature of gold is that it shines. It goes against its nature not to shine. But yet, the idea that the writer here is trying to get to us is that the gold isn't shining. And it goes against the very nature. Do you know that we can state that the church of God is... And put all the ideas of what it is there. And it can't be the church of God and not be that. Right? You can't put sin in it. You can't put adultery in it. You can't put and it be it. Can you? Well, how does gold not shine then? How does the church not shine when the church has to shine to be the church? But yet the writer here says, how the gold don't shine. Something's wrong with the gold. You know what? I'm going to tell you something about gold. If gold quit shining, nobody would want it. The great price that it has per ounce, $1,300 an ounce or whatever it is, it would have no value to it if it stopped shining. When it quits, it's not worth anything. And my burden, as I read this, the burden the Lord gave me, are we worth anything? Lord, help us. I believe it's possible to be the church and love the Lord and trying to go through this world and keep my convictions and keep the things in my life and start losing the shine. You know why? There is an element of the church that makes her shine that's not hers. Yes. And that is what, if we're not careful, we'll lose the element that makes us to shine. Moses, come on, remember when Moses come off the mountain? Yes. And they said, cover his face.
That's right.
Do you know that shine didn't belong to Moses?
That's right.
Moses wasn't just standing there kind of puffing himself and making his face go. And God, he wasn't illuminating himself from his own spirit. The illumination off of his face was the remnant of what God had shined on him.
Amen.
He only brought the shining of God back down off of that mountain. And when the people looked at it, they could hardly behold it. The influence, the effectiveness was so great that they said, cover it up, for the glory of God is shining off of him. It didn't belong to him. As we go through our time and we face the days ahead, if we're going to be what we're supposed to be, we're going to have an element that don't belong to us. And that element is Christ himself.
Amen.
It's Christ in us. We must strive. Not to do it ourselves. We have a place and a part in it. We've got to give ourselves over to the will of God. We've got to give ourselves over to holiness and purity. We've got to give our lives over to the Lord. But I'm going to tell you what's going to make us shine is the presence of God in our lives. That's what's going to make the difference. It isn't us by legislating rules or coming up with standards or any of those things. It's by our contact with our God.
Yes.
Amen.
We can't afford to lose the contact that we have with our God. I haven't been doing it much lately, but I got into doing some metal detecting, looking for treasures, they say. Kind of enjoyed that. And I noticed something. I found quite a few objects. And pennies was probably the number one thing, pennies. But I noticed something about pennies. The older these pennies were, the more indistinguishable they were. They just didn't hold up in the ground. They were corrupting, corroding. I would find them and try to see the date, but everything would be just barely be able to see the details, not even be able to make them out. And I noticed that if I found a quarter that had been in the ground very long, it was almost black, and it was so corrupted and corroded, and all these things. But when I found silver, I always instantly knew what I had, because it didn't matter how long it had been there. It's amazing to me that it's this way, but it is this way. I would find these old mercury dimes that had been in the ground, been there as long as these pennies, and the pennies almost, many times the pennies would be just barely a penny. I mean, they would be so corroded that it'd be notched out and deformed and all that. But these mercury dimes look like they had just fallen into the ground. The dirt didn't even cling to them. You almost didn't have to wash them. You could just rub them. And they were still just like they were. The quality, the shine was still. Well, they needed polish to shine a little bit. But as soon as you hit it and found them, you didn't have to look and try to sift through it to find it, because it stuck. It just shines out to you. There's something here. There's something. It's easy to know and see that. And that amazed me in a doing, and I got a thought out of that. Are we that way? Are we that effectual with our life that the people that come into contact with our life can automatically know that this isn't something that's corroded? This isn't corrupted. This is something that's shining out you. There's something different about this. We have a world to face. We have a time to face. And the Lord has chosen us, all you young people. God's chosen you for this time. This is our time. We can say of what D.S. Warner done and what Brother Stover done and what Brother Gibson done, but what they done is what they done. And they're not going to do any more. But there's a time for you and I to live now. And of all the shining that we can say they did, all the times we say, well, Brother Gibson, he went out and he was a hunter and he went out and looked for people and he shined his light and he preached in places and he done that. Okay, that's good. Glad that he did and we made an influence. But that don't work now. He's not here to do that anymore. And my Brother Sammons, he made a great influence on my life. He really had an effect from the pulpit. He had an effect in his life. His prayers were so dynamic at times. The Lord blessed him, and the influence of God was on his prayers. And the shine, you could feel it and that. But he ain't here to pray for nobody. But that leaves us in our generation to shine. Now this scripture says, how has the gold become dim? How is the most fine gold changed? Is it possible for gold not to shine? Well, there's an idea that he looked at something and made an analogy that it did. That there was something that should have worked and been so beautiful and so the glory of the whole earth. The God's work, God's people, God's ways, he set it up that the whole world should have envied the people that was closest to God. They ought to envy. There should have been love and contentment between all of them. There should have been goodwill. There should have been kindness. There should have been love. There should have been room to expand. There should have been liberty of spirit. There should have been all of those things. Everybody worshiped the Lord, and the whole world should have looked and said, we should all serve that God. It wasn't God that failed. It was the people. They should have been gold, but they didn't show the gold. They dimmed. They got blurry. And when they got blurry like that and dimmed, they had no effect on anyone around. And it was easy. It was really easy to condemn that God. It was really easy to condemn that way. You know what happens in our world? It's true. If we're not careful, it's really easy for people to be able to say they're not what they ought to be. That isn't the right way. Why not accept everything else? It's just one among many. It doesn't matter. I don't see any difference in it. I'm not saying that that's an honest opinion. I'm saying it's one that gets a lot more credibility when we're dim. And we don't have the light that we're supposed to have. And to be honest with you, I know that we're human, and I know there's human conflicts, but there's ways to settle human conflicts. God has taught us, you know, part of this gold that shines is ability for a person to be honest. I think a Christian person to be honest, most honest people in the world about world events, about the things around them, about their own selves. And humility is so golden. Humility shines so well in this proud world. We should have humility. If Christ, the Son of God, could humble himself and become obedient, even the obedient to death and the death of the cross, then we ought to humble ourselves down too and show that humility to the world around us. Lord, help us today to not lose the shine and the brilliance that the Lord brought to us. I don't see the Lord as being dull. I think at times, I recently was up at my cabin and I lit an oil lamp. and it lit. And in a little while, the flame, an oil lamp, don't give out much light to start with. But it gave out enough. But I noticed the flames start just going down. The room started dimming. Objects became less clear. And it can't become dimmer and dimmer. And as I saw that, I remember thinking of the 10 virgins. Five of them were wise and five of them were foolish. And as I thought of that, I thought the reason that's going out is not because the wick is burned away. It isn't because there's not oxygen to it. It's obvious why it's burning down. I haven't put oil in the lamp. The oil's running out of my lamp and I need to put oil in the lamp. And I thought of that idea about those five that were foolish. And I thought, it is foolish because I'm not going to be able to see here in a little bit. And even if it does burn a little longer, it's so dim. It doesn't mean the light's all the way out. It doesn't mean that you've lost everything. But there was a writer who was concerned about this. How does gold dim? What would make it do it? What would make us lose it? What would make that do it? There's one thing that would make it do it. When we lose the influence of His Spirit in our lives, when we lose the contact of the Lord. So I done the obvious thing. I went to put oil in the lamp. It's very easy. It's not a hard process. But the bottle was empty. The bottle that, there's no oil. There's no oil, lamp oil in the lamp oil bottle. And there's no place to get. There's none out on the porch. There's none. And I thought around, what am I going to do? And the first thing I thought was, I'll have to go buy some. And the thought came to me again. Do I have time? No, I'm not going to be here that long. The lamp had to go out. That's what eventually will happen. And I'm concerned because I see a world that in my mind is progressively getting worse and worse and worse. And I'm interested about how much we're going to shine and how much the reality of the church of God. And when I say that, I say it in the pure biblical sense. How much are we going to be a part of that institution that Christ set up that was never meant to dull or dim? It was never meant to fade away. It was meant to be that city on the hill that affects and will affect the generations that follow us. If our light dims, if our gold dims in our day, you better believe it'll dim more in our children's day than it has in ours. And in our grandchildren's day will be even more. And as we approach a more evil and evil world, I know that it's mostly my prayer every Sunday morning when we go to Sunday school. And a lot of times I pray for Sunday school when I'm there. And when I pray for the Sunday school, I almost without fail pray that the Lord would take this small time that He's got in this Sunday school to fortify our children against the evil day that was going to come. Lord, light them up. Lord, help them, give them something that's going to allow them to go through this dark world and still be able to see what the truth is, still be able to have honor and dignity in their life and holiness and goodness and care about the institution of marriage and the good things that God, integrity above wealth and good things in life. And I pray for them, Lord, take this time to instill into their young life something with the world that they're going to have to face. Give them strength to face it with. Help them in their generation to be still a city that's set on a hill. Yeah, amen. Recently, a brother and I were discussing using photographs, pictures of ourselves on our literature. What I'm talking about is Church of God stuff. I mean, I'm very shy, okay, about this photo is being photographed and put out anywhere. I wouldn't do it myself. But the Lord have his way. So we was discussing this, and I was saying that I see no purpose of it, and I would be concerned about self-promoting. None of us have any reason to promote ourselves. You're not worth anything to promote, okay? None of us are. We're promoting Christ. And in this discussion, the brother says to me, well, I'll tell you the way I see it. He said, a picture is worth 1,000 words. It said, it does my heart so good to see holy, righteous people's pictures and images where they're clean and wholesome. And I said, I never thought about it. I said, I repent. You have changed, in that one statement, you have changed my mind. Shine your light. Shine your light. It doesn't mean that it's self-willed or self-promoting. I have no problem with a picture that shows the saints on it because it's to shine. That it does say so much of somebody that does take care of themselves. They're clean. They're clean cut. They care, but they present themselves in a certain way. Do you know that says something about who you are? About what you care about? Our desire that people should be modest can be captured better. You don't have to say it when you have a picture to declare it. It's only an extension of the witness ability that we have to let our light shine. I know all of these things can be taken advantage of. If I felt right about myself, I could want all my voice to go out and must promote Marty, and I could set that all up. I don't. Lord, I wouldn't do it all if it was just me, but a long time ago I said, Lord, if you can get any glory out of me in any way, you have me totally, you can do it. But I say, let our light shine. To be able to say, to look and say, oh, that says something about me. Because if that same person had long braided hair down and a tattoo on the side of his head and a ring in his nose, I'm not trying to be, I'm just saying we would look at that and say, I see something in that. I see something in that. There's something that registers with me right there. And so does wholesomeness. So does righteousness. And it made me to say, Lord, if you can use us in any way, we're yours. Lord, help us to be that. It doesn't mean that's everything, but it is something. And we should want to be wholesome and right. Are you ever challenged in this day to want to draw back when you're the only one that's living that way or being presented that way or you're the only one there that's that way? We should never feel that way. Lord, help us. Help us to get a hold of you enough that it does, that we ought to want to be able to, not in arrogancy or anything, but we ought to want to gather around, if we go somewhere to eat, to gather around as a family and other ones around us and say, let's bow our head and pray. Why shouldn't we? Why shouldn't we want to say when the whole world is saying it's ridiculous? Why shouldn't we say, no, it's not. It's my lifeline. Yes. Why shouldn't we say that we're thankful to our Maker for what He's given for us? We should. And we assume sometimes the devil wants to tell us, you'll get nothing but ridicule if you'll do. And there may be ridicule and there may be persecution from it. But can I tell you something? Everyone that ever really shines their light gets persecution. They that live godly in Christ shall suffer persecution. But it makes the light shine all the more brighter when we do it. And if we look at Christianity as some way that it is something that ought to moderate itself down to get along with the normal functions of this world, we're not going to shine very brightly. Because they're going to snuff it all the way down. We don't mind you being Christian just as long as you sit over and behave yourselves. As long as you don't suggest it to anybody else. We're not going to pray at high school commencements. We're not going to mention Jesus' name. We're not going to do those kind of things. And you say, no, I'm going to. Then you're going to suffer some things. But I'm going to tell you what, if it's done right, will happen. That honest one looking is going to be able to look and say, there is a community that I'd like to be a part of. There is a real loving and a real true and the right way. That something that I want to be a part of. Lord, help us. I want to turn to and just look at a little bit of a man that I felt like did this, and he was willing to shine his light into a dark world. It's in Acts. And it was, let's go to 7th chapter. I'll go back a ways and read it. The 47th verse says, but Simon built him a house. Howbeit the Most High dwelleth not in temples made with hands, as saith the prophet. Heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. What house will ye build me, saith the Lord? Or what is the place of my rest? Hath not my hand made all these things? Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you do always resist the Holy Ghost, as your fathers did, so do ye. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? And they have slain them which showed before of the coming of the Just One, of whom ye have been now the betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by the disposition of angels and have not kept it. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly unto heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witness laid down their clothes at the young man's feet, whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Lord, lay not this to their charge. How big are we? If he could do that under this circumstance, should we be able to do it under lesser circumstances?
Yes.
Well, most certainly. If in a certain circumstance to this kind of a place, then we ought to do it to a lesser place. He was willing. He showed something. I can't help from wondering something that isn't spoken here. But do you think it was by chance that it worked out that Paul was there? Saul was there? What was that, one of the just the tweaks of history that you know, that things happened to where the apostle Paul happened to be there, and they actually, I mean, they could have laid their clothes at other people's feet. They could have laid them across the other way. Do you think there was was there any correlation? Was God doing anything? Did Stephen's life mean anything? Was he doing it for a reason? He was shining.
Yes.
He was shining. You know, when Paul, he went ahead with these ways, but when the Lord spoke to him on the road to Damascus, he made a phrase there that's very peculiar to me. Saul, Saul, is it hard for thee to kick against the pricks? Isn't it?
Yeah.
No, wait a minute. You mean the pricks just that happened in the last 10 seconds? No. Paul had been pricked at. I wonder if the stoning of Stephen wasn't a prick. Now, I know I'm taking liberties, but there was an honesty in that man.
Yeah.
down in there somewhere. And he was driving. I wonder what that was. I wonder. He never wrote about it, never said nothing about it. But I wonder if he ever thought about it. Do you think maybe he ever thought about some of those things? Well, that's only speculation on my part. But I want to say this. Stephen was being a witness for the Lord. And he witnessed and all of that that was done to him. Now listen to me. There's something that's valuable here. We go through life sometimes collecting all of these things that happen to us in life and never look to think that God may have a reason in it above what it looks. And he does. You can stand around and blaming somebody for doing this or they shouldn't have done that or that, but maybe it was the Lord that brought that into your life. You ever think of those kind of things? Maybe it's the Lord that wants to see some light shining out of you. All too often we're quick to blame our brother, blame our sister, blame somebody else or do this or they shouldn't have done that. Have you ever just stopped and said, the Lord's got me in a place? I've been in places before that it seemed like Linda Belford, that we was one sickness after another, one sickness, one wouldn't quit before another done. A year and a half we had sickness in our family. And you know what I had to say at the end of it? Lord, have your way. Lord, I know it has to be something more than just, this isn't normal. There's something, you know, I've had times that it seems like that everybody ignores me. Now, I know that it may be my imagination. Then you all might be ignoring me too. Because the Lord may have it that way that you don't even notice me or have something on your mind. You don't think God can do that if he wants to? It isn't you. It isn't you. God's doing something. God wants us to shine in our lives. God wants to use us in our lives that we can shine through the adversity. You say, well, I'm shining. Yeah, the sun's shining. You got health and all your money. You're eating well, and I'm shining. Feel good about stuff. Well, that ain't very much light when it's awful bright around you. But wait till the darkness starts setting in. Wait till bad things start happening. We have to respond to that. Lord, help us to be able to shine in this time that we have and show that Jesus Christ is real and alive in people's lives yet. They won't be able to gainsay it if we do. Oh, they may try it, but it won't work. You'll say there's something there that doesn't seem human or right. Now, I know I've told this story a number of times, but I read it, and it was a special thing, and I can't testify to how the woman dressed or where she went to church or any of that thing, but I know there was a Christian moment in her life because she had a little girl, and some man abducted that little girl. It was the only little girl she had. She had a little girl, and the man abducted that little girl and abused her and killed her, and he got caught, and she had a right to face him. What would you do? You know, she was a Christian woman. And I don't know what else she did. But I'm going to tell you, she shined. She was shining. She come in and told this man that she forgave him. And that she loved him and that Christ died for him and that he could be saved. Now you think of that. I'm telling you, that to me, that was shining. That's what he did. And listen, I said, go back to this. The shine doesn't belong to us. Amen. It isn't ours. It isn't something that we can do or muster up ourselves or get together and do. It's the shining is of the illumination of the glory of God. It is God that shines in us. Well, I want to promote this to us. It's a relationship with the Lord that makes it all work. That's what makes it shine. You know, I've seen it happen, and sometimes it happens almost miraculously, but back when I worked for Allegheny Lands Surveying, or Allegheny Surveying, I think we ended up calling it, I had a secretary there, and I went to camp meeting for a week, took off the whole week and went to camp meeting, and at the end of the camp meeting, I come back to work, and it was a good camp meeting. And I had been so inspired by that camp meeting. I walk into work the Monday after our camp meeting, and our secretary looks up and goes, "Whoa, what's with you?" And I, "What do you mean? What are you talking about?" And she said, "Well, you're glowing. Well, it kind of shocked me that she says that you're glowing. What did she see?
Yes.
What did she see? My response was, we just had a good camp meeting. But that was, something happened. I didn't walk around every day, all day long, people saying that. But the Lord let her see something.
Yes.
She saw something, and for some reason, Lord, help us to shine in 2016. I see a dimming world. I see a dimming culture. I see the fear of God dimming in the world around us. I see the people, I see holiness being just wiped away. People don't hardly care about anything. I mean, you think of this. I don't be too explicit. But I want to tell you, I heard this on God. I don't know where it was at, but they made a comment that some newspaper writer had wrote in the paper that no woman over 20 years old should wear these stretchy, whatever, yoga pants or whatever they call them, should wear them. I say nobody of any age ought to wear them. But he made that comment, so a big women's group got together and said, men shouldn't try to tell women how to wear it. So they're having a great big march in this city of them all wearing these pants. All right. But Lord, help our light to shine through it all. We don't have to belittle people. We don't have to run them down. There should be pity. But we ought to let our light shine right in it, that we don't have to go that way. God made us in his own image. We're not animals. We're not people that have to run by our own desires of the flesh and run like animals and do like animals do. We're created in the image of God, and we can live higher than that. We can control these things by our spirit through Jesus. Lord, help us. To me, the gold that we're talking about that should always shine is our trust in God. I think that the world ought to be able to look, and if they can't say anything else about us, they can say there are people that trust in their God.
Yes.
And it's evident by the way they live their life that their first place is their trust in God. And I'm going to say that for a reason, because I've lived long enough to know that we can get ourselves involved, and I do because I like to follow the events of the day. We're in a political time and all that kind of stuff. And if you're not careful on a Wednesday morning before long, you're going to be sitting with the blues. I started with the blues a long time before. But you know something? I never trusted in any of them anyway. When was the last time that you put your trust in the U.S. government? And if you have, it's a misplaced trust. It ought to be our number one projection of our lives is, the shine of our lives is here is the people that can face their days. They can face difficulties. They can face obstacles. They can face whatever comes their way and persecution. They can face anything because they trust in God. They put their trust in God. Nothing will dethrone our God. Do you know that? Nothing can dethrone him. Nothing. So we trust in God. And it should be foremost that we trust in God. And not just when things are good. We trust in him when things are bad. We trust in him when there's nothing else. We trust in God when there's everything. We trust in him when there's nothing. I don't know which is more influencing, to get to a place that you have nothing less than you trust in God, or to have everything in front of you and say, I trust in God anyway, over all of it. Another thing that is going to be absolutely the shine of our lives is going to be the love that we have towards one another. When the world looks on and they look and see a genuine love and care and concern not only for those around us. It goes deeper than that. We love one another. I think there's a scripture that would teach us that we should prefer one another. I mean, that we should, especially the household of faith, we ought to have an endearing, strong love one another, but it extends out to everybody. It extends out to a care and concern for everybody. That's going to be a very dynamic, very effectual part of our going forth. Because you want to know what? We can get caught up into what we think would be the nasty or the defiled part of it. We look around our world and more we're going to have to deal with people that have lifestyles that we know the Bible condemns. And you can read through the lines. Shining don't mean we drag them behind our trucks. Or that we persecute them or bomb them.
No.
There is people that are committing abortions. And there is alternative life. And there's these things that the Bible condemns. The Lord condemns. Our own heart does. But how do we feel about the people? We'll have a great love towards them.
Yes.
No, I can't be a partaker with you. But everything else that I can, I will.
Yes.
I may not be able to go along with the way you are, but I can reach out a hand to help you if you need help, and I can love you. I can still witness Christ and love to you. Sure. What are we going to do if we don't? You know, we're made to shine. We're a city on a hill. It should never be a true allegation of the Church of God that we don't love all people. We should love and accept all people as people. I think the Church of God is very exclusive. I didn't make that up. It's in the Bible.
Yes.
It's exclusive to those that are born by the blood of Jesus. And I didn't make that rule. But that's the qualifications. If you can be included into the church, that's the way you got to come. And I didn't make the rules. It's not just an open accepting in the church, but we're to love. We're to love one another. And we got to keep singing. We got to keep singing and praising God.
Yes.
And lifting up the Lord in our life. When we say to the people around us, this is the best way to live life, and they look. And now, I know there's the garden experience. I know there's burdens. I know that is. But somewhere along the line, I got the idea that this should bring some joy. And in the presence of the Lord is the fullness of joy. And somewhere I got in the idea that this should be a pretty good existence, happy and glad that we're here. And we somehow I get the idea that through the problems of life, that there is a joy and a gladness that can go through that, and that we can sing and praise the Lord and show ourselves to be faithful to God no matter what else happens, and shine our light to the world. We're not careful, we're going to get ourselves put down to we feel like, and I'll tell you what happens. Many times because there's other religious groups that's got out there and been ugly and been in a way that we'll do it until we want to kind of stay away from all these things. We kind of do that. Lord, help us to be what we're supposed to be as a city set on a hill and having love and joy in our hearts and being able to go right on through living for the Lord. I had somebody not long ago tell me, we was into kind of a discussion of sorts. And he said, all you dudes walk around here with a old hateful look on your face and you're sad all the time. That's what he's saying about me. He said, ain't much of a witness, and said, look like you're mad at everybody. I said, Lord help me. If you see me like that, I'm going to tell you something. I don't feel that. I don't feel like I'm mad at everybody or that I hate anybody. I'm probably off in my own world thinking about something that's hard to say what, but I'm not really mad at you or mad at anybody else, or I don't feel hateful or ornery or none of those things. But I'm going to tell you that did challenge me. Because if that's what my light's shining, I'd like to get the Lord to help me to make it different. Because really, if that was an honest assessment of me, I say, Lord, well, would you help me not to look like that Even if you can just put a neutral look on my face, it'd be a help. But I but Lord, help us to shine. And I want to leave that with you, the burden. I think it's the Lord's burden. He wants His church to not be a gold that's dimmed. Gold is supposed to be shining. And this is gold. I've given my whole adult life to this. And I only get one life. And I don't regret a bit of it. I don't regret that I hadn't chased the world. What world chasing I done, I regret. I don't regret living for the Lord. I am thankful for the life. I am so blessed. I'm thankful for the life, the family, the honor. I'm glad that I don't owe anybody. I never cheated or steal from I don't owe them. I thank God for it. I'm really thankful for it. And I want the world to know that this is the way that you ought to live life. And Lord, help us to be able to shine as the gold that God intended us to be as His church. We are the gold of the world. The scripture also says we're the salt. But it says something, and I find this, I read somewhere where it can, but I don't know what it would be if it didn't. But it says if the salt has lost its savor, can salt lose its saltiness? Well, none of the salt that I ever had did, but they say there is in certain elements that it can. But I want to say this, you know what he said it was worth when it become not salty? It wasn't worth anything. Gold that don't shine is not valuable, and salt, you wouldn't put salt on your French fries if it wasn't salty. It's got to add enhanced flavor. Lord, help us to be willing to enhance this thing with our lives and give our lives to it. And I'm going to tell you, don't go home thinking, well, I'm going to gird up a little bit. I'm going to grit up here a little bit, and I'm just going to shine out. You know, you're not. If you go home saying, I'm going to get a hold of the Lord, I'm going to contact the Lord, I'm going to build a relationship to where the Lord comes out in my life, you'll shine whether you have a thought of shining or not. It'll shine in you. When you have the songs of the Lord singing through in your, you'll sing them. You know what I'm saying? There'll be times that you'll be going along, and there's people that have that testimony that somebody just said they was just, well, they always said about Brother Gordon. Well, did you ever see Brother Gordon? I mean, maybe you all known him longer than me. Was Brother Gordon somebody that was depressed? Was he a depressed, unhappy person? I never seen him depressed and unhappy. I mean, he dealt with issues like all of us. But I always appreciated Brother Gordon because you could always, well, it wasn't hard to get him to laugh, but he always had a smile, always wanted to laugh. I appreciate that. Lord, help us be able to shine. You pray for me.